Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Super Regional is set for the Vols, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Ryan Shuppert from Rocky Top Insider. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Ryan, it's not going to be Chase Burns and Wake Forest. Not going to be East Carolina. Evansville, the Super Regional matchup for Tennessee coming up this weekend. What did you make of the way that this is kind of shaken out here for the Vols through their bracket and now with Evansville coming in this weekend?
Well, I think starting with Tennessee, it was about as drama-free as a regional weekend can be. And it felt like Tennessee's offense played about as well as it has in 6 weeks or so. I mean, the offense has been good, but it felt like this past weekend it kind of returned to great like it was for a good portion of the season before taking albeit small step back the last little stretch. But obviously the surprise came in what went down in Greenville, and that was chaotic from the start, where East Carolina and Wake Forest both dropped their first game. But when you saw Evansville, I guess it was, I'm blanking on who they beat in that second game, but for them to get into the regional final, it felt like, all right, well, whoever wins, you know, which at that point East Carolina had prevailed in that crazy game against Wake Forest, it felt like they'll probably find a way to get back. And certainly after East Carolina had the blowout win on Sunday night, you felt like surely they would take care of business. I know they were down to not a ton of pitching, but surely they would take care of business on Monday. And for a while it looked like that would happen, but that three-run home run in the seventh inning, and all of a sudden, Evansville, four seed, is coming to Knoxville. So quite a surprise. Everybody, I think, from a storyline standpoint, from a writing standpoint, wanted Chase Burns and Wake Forest. East Carolina wouldn't have been a bad consolation because they had such a good team and obviously have been trying to get over that super regional hump. But instead, it's the Evansville Purple Aces, who you kind of have to scramble to do a lot of research about, because I can't say I knew a ton about Evansville going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, this sucks. I mean, talk me into why this doesn't suck, Ryan. I'm really upset. And I mean, this weekend, I feel like the biggest drama might be if you set the new hot dog record in the press box.
Wow.
Which what is that record, by the way? Was it a record?
It was a bet. But six is what I had done that day.
It's pretty good.
Six
pretty
hot strong. Dogs. Yeah. By a certain time, right? By the seventh inning or something like that?
Yeah, so it was one hot dog, a normal pregame hot dog, then five hot dogs from the middle of the third inning to the seventh inning stretch.
If you did that, it'd be a gout outbreak left and right up there.
Yes, well, that would probably be a bad scene. But seriously, like, is there any hope that we're going to have good baseball? I know they have an ace, a freshman, but like, I just feel like it's just, I was so excited for Chase Burns, and at least East Carolina would have been a good, you know, consolation is a program that's never gotten there, but they're a very good program. I mean, are we going to see any good baseball this weekend?
No, I mean, it sucks, to your point. I think it sucks, too. And maybe Evansville will surprise me, but Evansville surprising me would be Evansville winning one game, and it might be a heck of a minor surprise if they make either of the two games competitive. And I'm sure Tony Vitello will do his best to talk up Evansville all week, and certainly the Kenton Deverman, the freshman lefty, has had a good season, but it's just hard to think with how good Tennessee's offense is in that ballpark, they're not going to be able to score a ton of runs, especially when you talk about how much pitching Evansville had to use last weekend. They did luckily avoid using Deverman twice. I mean, my thought was they might have to turn around and use him again yesterday, and then they would have really been in trouble, but I said it to Mike Wilson after the Tennessee game on Sunday when it was apparent, obviously, that East Carolina had won that game, that we needed East Carolina to win from a storyline standpoint, and it just doesn't feel like there's going to be that much interest. Obviously, everybody's going to watch. Everybody's going to be excited from a Tennessee standpoint, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to have a whole lot of juice this weekend. Oddly, obviously, there was some juice last weekend, but things were so drama-free. It just doesn't feel like things are going to get ratcheted up too much for this Tennessee team until they get to Omaha.
So, Ryan, obviously things are going really well for the Vols right now. They're the number one overall seed. They're hitting the ball as well as anybody. Their pitching's been great all year. If you had to identify something about this group that you're either curious about or that concerns you moving forward, what would it be?
Well, I think it's two things that have kind of proved to be a flaw with this team, and one's just the back of the lineup. It feels like the 7-8-9 has the ability to kind of disappear on him, which I think was probably the most encouraging thing about this past weekend. And look, Cal Stark in the nine hole, he had a heck of a weekend. I think hit 300, hit three home runs. His on-base percentage was over 500. But he has the ability to have some of these weekends where it's like, who is this Cal Stark guy? So to me, that wasn't necessarily something that makes me change my outlook. What Dean Curley did was kind of an eye-raiser because – he raced out to really, as a freshman, had a great first half of the season, and it felt like he had run into a freshman wall. He hadn't hit a home run in the Auburn, I think game three at Auburn series was the last time he'd hit a home run before this past weekend, and he got hit nine at that point in the season. So for him to hit two this past weekend, for him to show some of that power, it's like, okay, well, this is a really talented kid. He's just a freshman, but if he can find another gear, I think that goes a long way to Tennessee. But those two guys combined with the DH spot, which has just kind of been a cluster for Tennessee, they haven't been able to find any sort of consistent answer there all season. Those three guys at the bottom of the lineup has the ability to not be great at times. So it was really encouraging that they had a good weekend, but I think that's one of the concerns. And the second concern, I think, is the pitching depth. And I don't think it shows up in a three-game super regional or in a three-game regional in this case, but if Tennessee does take care of business this week and get back to Omaha, and you're in that regional format again, and if you do have to play four or five games to get to the College World Series final, I think things become a little dicey with the pitching. There's seven pitchers I think they have a good bit of trust for. It does feel like they're building a little bit more depth. Andrew Behnke had a fantastic outing against Indiana in game two at a regional. Dylan Loy obviously had that great long relief appearance against LSU and the SEC tournament. Marcus Phillips has shown some flashes, but all those guys are still a little bit of inconsistency around. So if Tennessee's pitching got pushed to four games, and granted it wouldn't be as big as a concern in Omaha because of the way those games are spaced out, it really felt like last weekend was where it could be a big problem. But the pitching depth in the back of the lineup, I think, are very small concerns on what is obviously a very well-rounded team.
Yeah, I kind of thought, Ryan, going into the postseason, like, well, A.J. Russell might need to be. They might need that one more arm. And I know, you know, he comes in the SEC tournament briefly, and they're kind of looking at him, and there's not much said. But at this point, I guess, would you be surprised if we saw him?
I would be surprised, yeah. It did not sound very positive the way Tony Vitello talked about it both going into the series, and then he talked about it briefly on Friday night when he was not on the active roster. So they said they were going to get it reevaluated. And look, he came back and his outings weren't terrible or by any means in the SEC tournament, but the velo was down 91-93. And you're talking about a guy that was throwing 97-98 early in the season before the injury. So it just didn't seem like he was like himself. And yeah, I guess you can't close the door completely on him making a return this season, but I would be surprised.
Ryan, when you look at, obviously, the lineup, it's been so rock solid all year long. The two guys at the top, Christian Moore, Blake Berg. How do you put into words, into context for our listeners, what they've meant to this group all year long, how big of a weapon they can be as they get into super regional play, and hopefully for their sake, a trip to Omaha coming up?
Oh, I think Christian Moore is having about as good as a season as any Tennessee baseball player ever has, probably up there with what Chris Burke did in 2001. He's been incredible. And I mean, he was good for most of the season, but the last, I guess it's 2 months now, he's just been on an insane tear to where the point, this past weekend, he hits 310, and I think his on base percentage was right around 500, and he hits one home run. And you're like, yeah, kind of a disappointing weekend from Christian Moore. He didn't do all that much at the plate. It was pretty quiet for him. He's just been incredible. He's going to be first, obviously, he's already set Tennessee's single season home run record. It'll be the first one to hit 30 home runs the enters this weekend with 29. And he's done that on top of being just an all-around complete hitter and setting the tone for Tennessee in the leadoff spot. And Blake Burke, I think what's been so impressive about him is just the way his game's evolved. I think you start with what he's done on the defensive side of the ball, where he was a complete liability as a first baseman last year for Tennessee. And this year he was all SEC defensive team and very worthy of being that. He's been a really, really good defender. And I think that's done a lot for Tennessee's defense. Still isn't perfect. It's not great. There's been some issues in the infield. Billy Amick's been pretty shaky ever since he had the appendicitis. But I think Blake Burke, it would be a lot more shaky if it wasn't for what Blake Burke's done at first, which is just night and day compared to last year. And then even at the plate, it's so much different. Last year was so, I mean, he hit 205 in SEC play, and he had some moments in the NCAA tournament. But he was so home run or bust last season, and look, he has 18 home runs this year, so it's not like he hasn't hit them. But his approach has just been so good. He leads the team in doubles. He's second to Moore in extra base hits, and he's right there with him, even though the fact that Moore has, 11 more home runs than him. So he's been a complete hitter. He goes the other way. He's not complete pull side. He works a lot of competitive at-bats. He walks a lot. It just feels like he was such a boomer bust guy and such a one-dimensional player in his first two seasons at Tennessee, and now it feels like he's really well-rounded. And I think he's improved about as much as anyone on this Tennessee roster from last season to this season.
Well, to that point, Ryan, there's been a lot of talk in this state with SEC programs about hitting coach. You know, of course, at Vanderbilt, people are upset. They've kind of, they have not had good offenses lately. I saw the stat the other day about Arkansas in the postseason, basically since Vitello left. Josh Elander is a guy who, you would think just what you described there with Blake Burke, that sounds like coaching, taking and working with a guy and helping a guy with a lot of talent find a better approach and improve. How big of a factor is he? And also, do you think he's a guy who might get plucked here or people might be coming after him?
To start with the second question, yes. I think it's just a matter of time before he gets a job. And I think the thing is, it'll be a big job. He's going to be selective about it. I know he's been a name on a lot of South Carolina hot boards. I think with the South Carolina fan base, a very popular name thrown out there. So whether it's this offseason, the next, or sometime down the road, I think it's just a matter of time before Josh Elander gets an SEC-level job. And certainly South Carolina is about as good as any job in the conference, so maybe it won't be a job at that level, but I think he can kind of be selective and wait for a job at least close to that level for him to get. So I think that's coming at some point, and it certainly could be this offseason. But no, I mean, he's been incredibly important. And I don't think, obviously, Tony Vitello is a fantastic coach, but you cannot undersell how good his assistant coach staff is between Elander and Frank Anderson. And even Quentin Eberhardt, who's the strength and conditioning coach, has been so important to just changing the bodies of so many of these guys. And I think that when you talk about the hitting, I think that works hand-in-hand with Elander of why they have so much power. And then Elander, he's the ace recruiter on the staff. I mean, he is a fantastic, fantastic recruiter. I would be lying if I said I knew the ins and outs of every single assistant coaching staff in the SEC, assistant coaching staff in the country, but I think Elander is up there with the very best when it comes to what he can do on the recruiting trail on top of being a hitting coach and running Tennessee's offense.
Well, Ryan, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Appreciate you all having me on.
I'll bring the mustard.
I'll use it.
There we go. Nice. Very nice.
Thanks, man.
Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider, our guest on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what he had to say. Get your thoughts on the Super Regional coming up for the Vols against Evansville, the 4-seed coming out of the other bracket. Joe Rexroad, very disappointed.
Yay.
Very disappointed. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.